It's Wednesday, September 6th, 2006. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Edmond, Oklahoma. Good evening, and welcome to another podcast that is a recording from the Encyclomedia 2006 conference, held right here in the heartland of the United States in Oklahoma City last week. And this session was actually from Friday, September 1st, and the topic was podcasting ideas. This session was given by Dan Schmidt, who is an instructional technology specialist at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. And what Dan shared is probably the best series of ideas that I have heard to date for really innovative, creative, and fun ways to use podcasting in the classroom. I have published an article recently in Interactive Educator, and I'll include a link both to Dan's website and to that article that focused on the use of podcasting in the classroom. And one of the points that I made in the article is that when we're having fun, we're learning better. You know, oftentimes you'll hear an after-dinner speaker or a politician start off their speech by telling a joke, and that's really not an accident. I mean, we know from neurological studies that when the brain is laughing, when humor is present, it's like a door that opens inside the mind. And so there is not anything that's a panacea for the challenges that face teachers and parents as far as educating children and keeping them engaged. But I think we all can understand that when we're having fun, the time can go by faster and learning becomes more engaging and we enjoy ourselves. So this is just a great series of tips that Dan has shared. He's got a book about KidCast called KidCast that I'll also include a link to in the podcast show notes. And I would just encourage you, if you haven't explored podcasting, to really take a serious look at giving it a try this year. Even if you just do one podcast with your kids, even if it's just something, you know, that takes place, I hate to say it, but after the tests are done, I mean, really, these are the kinds of things we want to be doing throughout the school year. But a lot of times we feel pressure as teachers that we've got to be, you know, preparing for the test, preparing for the examination. And I can assure you, if you're getting your kids to talk about the kinds of learning experiences that they're having, and you're getting them to think creatively about the curriculum and the content and the ideas that we're studying in school, you know, that's going to be a home run for learning. So it isn't something you should just save for the end of the year, but even if you have to do that, I would say give podcasting a try, because it's something you can do with free software that's available like Audacity, or with other tools if you use a Macintosh like GarageBand, and a built-in microphone. I mean, I'm using a built-in microphone on my laptop. I'm hoping here at some point to be purchasing a microphone to improve the audio quality, but, you know, it demonstrates the fact that you don't have to have expensive equipment, you know, if you've got a computer and access to the internet. You can podcast. If you don't have a microphone, go get one for $7 at your nearest Walmart. So, without further ado, thanks to Dan for permission to share this podcast, and I'll encourage you to visit his website, as well as the other websites linked in the podcast show notes, to get creative ideas about using podcasts in the K-12, well, maybe the higher education classroom.
To connect with what was happening in the classroom every single day and get the kids to sort of review it in their mind. What did we do today? You know, so when they get in the car and say, nothing.
Something to go on.
The third activity is like a student almanac show. And this is how fun, because you can plan it way ahead and assign each student a day in the upcoming month. And they have to record just a short little show, maybe 2 minutes. It's kind of like Garrison Keillor's Writer's Almanac, and where you could pick whatever little segments you wanted to do from an actual almanac or other sources. You know, what happened famous on this day? Who are some people that had birthdays? What's going on in our school on this day? how's the weather changing outside? They can do a little poll and include it in there. But it's kind of just a short little almanac. And at the end of the year, if you did those, that and the report of the day, you could burn all those on a CD, and it's like a little audio yearbook.
Yeah.
You can listen to that whole thing. It's so much better than just pictures. I love the idea of recording processes in terms of using a podcast as an instructional tool. How many people have smart boards in their school someplace?
Wow, that's a lot.
Well, you know, smart boards can record. There's a little report thing on there. You can record a movie. So you could do math processes, or you could show procedures for labs, or describe concepts, and chart it all out while it's recording your voice and recording that movie, and then add that movie up as part of a podcast stream. Put in your TV guide, and then students can download them. And not just your students. You might be from an international resource for explaining math. You never know. Or even just classroom procedures. And those could be on from a smart board. They could just be audio, or they could be video. Study guides. At the end of a chapter, before you assess it, you could record, as the teacher, you could record a podcast. Or you could have students do it, that reviewed the chapter and gave them, it was sort of like the locker room pep talk before the big test. Here's how you should prepare. And then they download it maybe the night or two before to actually, wow, great, too nice. To prepare for the exam and just sort of summarize what happened. And then you also have those if you do semester or more punitive kind of tests later. That you have those that you can use. And you can use them year after year if you want. We have some professors at UNL that are starting to do some things like that. Sound stories. We have students writing all kinds of creative writing. You can take their story and have them record it as kind of an audiobook. And they can put in, if they use tools like GarageBand, they can put in all kinds of sound effects, and they can put in music underneath it. They can work through the pros and change their voices. In GarageBand, there's cool pitch changing effects where you could, you know, they could speak in their normal voice when they recorded it, but then they could apply effects after the fact and make them sound like demonic monsters or whatever. So that can be a lot of fun. And then, instead of just writing, you know, one long story and doing it that way, they can start thinking in chapters and write just a short chapter and do it. And maybe they could produce one a week, or maybe it's just one a month. And over the year, they create this 12-part series. You know, maybe they'll be the next inventor of Harry Potter, and somebody will pick it up and want to make a movie out of it. But I think that's a great thing.
All of this on the
Yes, it is. Oh, don't worry about writing copies. Yeah, this whole thing, I put it up as a flash file. I just exported this as a flash file, and so you can even click through yourself and even make hand gestures and try that joke. But I think this could be a lot of fun. Kids could collaborate on these and, you know, produce a series together, but I love, and you could just do it as one shot, but the serial kind of really, I like that idea. You could take it a little further. You could make a podcast drama. This is my very favorite thing to do. And I have some friends who actually, adult friends that do this for fun. But it's like that old-time radio drama, and you can use the sound effects that are built into GarageBand or other tools, or you can get a Foley artist and try to make the sound effects yourself. And you can title the concepts that you're studying, and I really like that idea. I did a contest as a part of my podcast last semester, and my publisher let me give out free books and an iPod for each contest. And one of the contests we did was writing an original podcast drama that had a curriculum connection. And we had people from O'Neill, Nebraska, they did a courtroom drama that was about water usage, because they live above the Ogallala Aquifer, and so they talked about, you know, it's depleting, And so they did a courtroom drama where they put this guy named Mr. Drip on trial. But it taught all kinds of good concepts. There was some students historical fictional piece about the Alamo. There was some biography piece about Wilma Rudolph. And then there were some kids at Westside Middle School that did a whole class of in algebra, and she divided them into groups, and they had to. She gave them the concept, and then said they could pick whatever genre that they wanted, but they had to tie their story into scientific notation and exponents. And so I'll just give you a little taste of one of those. This was The Adventures of Dr. Negative and Mrs. Positive. Let me take a second to download.
I shall finish you off.
Oh, no, you won't. I am able to multiply my trusty army into as many numbers as I like. If I need the number 8 to defeat you all I have to do is bring my magic wand at number 2, 3 times, say, to the 3rd, because he will times himself by himself 1, get 4, or 2 squared, and then multiply himself by 2 again, get 8, or 2, third power.
But what would you do if I took my brand new top secret reducing machine and turned it into a negative 3 and fired it at your number 2? What would you have then? A measly 1-8. That is all. numbers, gather round. We will stick together to the very end. Dr. Negative's evil machine cannot defeat us.
So it just goes on like that. That's really good. We threw that idea out, and you just don't know if it's going to stick. Is anybody going to do it? And the stuff that came back was amazing. This class especially, they did. There was another one that was, I talked about yesterday, they did, it was like a Gone with the Wind. But it was about so there's a lot you can do with podcast dramas. It's very flexible. You can take it into any subject area. You can take it into any grade level, from a kindergarten program that you can, you know, turn that into an audio piece. Because you do them, just record it and put it up. To a senior in high school, a group of kids that could really put together something sophisticated. Okay, poetry plan. How many people teach their kids to write poetry? 3. Okay. A lot of people do it. If not writing their own, there's certainly lots of poetry out there that they're probably experiencing. You want to be a little careful with this one, and you want to use poetry that's in the public domain if you're going to put it up as a podcast. This poet can get very territorial about that. Robert Frost let one person set any of his poetry to music ever, and was very careful about how it was distributed. And his estate, I think, is the same way. So it's easier if you have them create original poems, but it's, usually when we're doing poetry, it's about them, the process of them writing, word usage, rhythm, and form. It's not really about the public performance of it so much, especially because when you write poetry, you really open yourself up, and it's scary to stand in front of a group of people and share something like that. Doing it in a podcast, you can still share it, but it's not as intimidating because you're doing it in a more intimate kind of recording where you can be careful about how you're reading it, and if you mess up, you can go back and delete one line and just re-record that one part. So for students, it's not as scary as coming up to the front of the room, but it's also nudging them toward that because you're getting them to share and not be scared of sharing their creative work. And they, instead of just reading it, they can also combine it with music, even sound effects, you know, to make it even a little bit more interesting. So then you're hitting the standard at a little different angle, and you're showing that they know how to not only write and read, but they know how to read expressively, and they know how to communicate the meaning of a poem. And that's what you really get from their voice, is knowing that they understand it. You could have a whole class do it, and instead of just putting them all up at the same time, you could release them into the TV guide, the RSS feed, one a day. And so people subscribe, and they get this fresh poem every day. And you see that 25 kids, there's a whole month. And then when the kids get hooked, they go, well, can I do a second one? Can I do a third one? And suddenly you've created a channel that maybe people subscribe to, and you've really created an identity. Anybody watch The View? You know what star on, yes. So think about doing a student version of that. Maybe a hybrid between The View and Meet the Press, so it would be a little more substance. But the idea of that roundtable discussion, I think, would be really cool. If you've got the right microphone that will pick up from every direction, you could have students each bring an article to the table, maybe a current event, and they their responsibility is to share the gist of the article with the group, and then be able to answer questions as people have them. So it's about, you know, we've gotten into this thing on television and in our culture that it's, you know, this side or this side, and it's just a dichotomy, and we hate each other, and we're going to scream, these two heads are going to scream at each other for an hour, and I'm really worried about what that is doing to us as a country. So I think it would be very productive to teach kids how to have a conversation, maybe disagree civilly, and to be able to look at an issue and really talk about it and agree to disagree or whatever, but to share opinions constructively. So maybe you're sitting there as a facilitator or the guy to keep it on the up and up, especially in the beginning, so they know how to maintain a conversation. And you just, each person is sharing their story. So you could do that with current events. You could do that with ethical dilemmas that are related to a subject area. Very flexible. Today in history, similar to the almanac a little bit, but with much stronger social studies focus, where students, again, you could go one day out of the month, it's their responsibility, and you all do them at the same time, and then release them on that date. But they look for all the historical events that happen on that date, and then they pick one of them and research it, and then, you know, do a little show about it. If it's local history, maybe they can find someone who experienced it, and you can pull in an interview. And so it's not just the student reading the facts about the event, but it's hearing the human side of it too. So they have to be able to explain it, not just read it. It's not, you can always tell when the students are just reading, when anybody's just reading. And it's not as much fun. This is a new online quiz show that we're just getting off the ground, so you guys can get in on the ground floor. But it's our ideas. We're trying out a couple of these, and I'm not really doing them. I'm just helping promote the idea. And a friend in the podcast listener came up with this idea, and so I'm helping him get it started. But it's called Lost in Time, and it's an online distributed quiz show. And the idea here is that maybe you don't want to do a whole podcast yourself, but maybe you would do one recording. And so you get some kids together, and you pick an event in history, and you don't say what it is, and you don't even give the exact dates, but you describe it, and give lots of clues about what the event was. And it's like a 2-minute thing. And at the end of your recording, you have a general, kind of generic email that your class has set up. And you give that email address. And you put it up on your local server, and then you email Randy Ware in Georgia, and you say, we have a Lost in Time podcast episode for you, and here's the address for the MP3 file, and here's our email address. That's all you have to do. You email it to him. He does the RSS. That's his job, to manage that. And then people subscribe to it. So even if you didn't produce it, you could still participate. You could be the contestant. There could be lots. There could be thousands of contestants. And what you do is you just subscribe to it, and you listen to each episode, and your students try to guess what the event was. And if they get it right, they they email, not Randy, but they email the address that was in the podcast, and they ask the classroom, hey, what did you describe in the Civil War or Battle of Vicksburg? And if they're right, they get some kind of reward back, kind of a virtual ribbon or a virtual trophy or something. But I think that could be a really fun social studies activity. And we have another sort of spin on that I'll talk about a little bit. You could do a mathematical, kind of like a quiz show, but it could just be that students have to come up with a math puzzle. You could use the concept that you're teaching at the time that they come up with it. It could be a video podcast that shows a mathematical puzzle. You know, it's a mystery. You could even do it as a little podcast drama that this happened and we need to solve the problem and what are we going to do? And then they email the results.
Exactly.
And let's say, I think about how on NPR they do the middle score, that's the puzzle master thing. So what you could do is out of all the winning entries that come in, you could draw a winner and whoever the winner is, you work them into next week's puzzle. So I think, there's a lot you could do with math. Here and you could, if it's too abstract to do it just in sound, if you needed some of that visual support, you could do that through an enhanced podcast where you put some pictures up to help. So this is the next one. It's a kind of a spin on that online distributed podcast quiz show. There are already 5 episodes of this that are up, and so there are, you can already do 5 of them. And this one is run by Anna Adam. I'm sorry, I always say her name wrong because it's like reverse from what I want to say. Anna Adam. And she is in she's in Texas. That's not that big a place. I never really think about where they are anymore. But anyway, it's a geography spin on that lost in time idea. And instead of describing an event in time, you describe where you are, or you just pick a place in the world and describe it. And you give clues about it. Longitude, latitude clues, or other kind of historic things that happened there, and so forth. And it's the same format. You give your clues, and then you give a generic class email at the end, and then you email her and tell her where you put the MP3. And there have been rare cases where somebody doesn't have any access to any kind of web server, and we've just arranged to post it on ours. And then she adds it to the thing. And this one's really fun because if you make a guess and you get it wrong, they'll email you some more clues, the class will, and if you get it right, they'll send you a postcard from where they are. So your class can collect a whole bulletin board full of postcards from different places that you virtually visited. You can do a word of the day podcast, expanding their vocabulary. This could be something you produce to highlight your spelling list or vocabulary that's going along with language arts units. Or you could just have the students dive into the thesaurus or the dictionary and pick out words that they don't know and explore them. And they have to use them in a sentence, learn to pronounce it correctly. They could go out. My friend Sean Porter has a podcast called Club Sport. And that's his classroom that they refer to themselves as Club Four. And they go out and they do a little segment on their show that's about business like this. And they pick a hard word and then they ask teachers and staff to try to spell it. And they record it. That's kind of fun. And then you learn the word, you learn how to use it in a context, and you really learn how to spell it. And they're usually very short, very quick cast, maybe 2 minutes. 15th one, book talks. Instead of doing the tired old book report, do an audio review of a book. Maybe things that you've read at the class, maybe a couple students read the same book, and then they get together to chat about it. What did you like about it? What do you wish would have happened differently in the story? What do you like about the author's style? But you could kind of scaffold that with some questions that you had them, or talking points that you could give them to make sure that they talked about them. It's important thing to guide them a little bit. You could do this through the classroom, or you could do it essentially through the library to promote, hey, would you read this book? Because I really need someone to do a podcast about it so we can get the word out to other people about this. So that makes it much more authentic than the librarian suggesting the book, because they expect you to do it. When it comes from their peers, they'll absorb it a little bit differently. And again, that's something that I think could be a resource way beyond your school, people would be interested and they would tap in. And I don't know of very many people that are doing that right now. So that would be a new kind of thing. Spelling bees are really hot now. Did you know that they become big? There are bars that are doing spelling bees as events.
Really?
Yeah. And like, cheering them on as they go. I think they need some impairment. But you know, you could do it as a, you could actually record a spelling bee in it, and that would be interesting. You could bring in the principal, or bring in the mayor, or bring in someone else, and see if you could challenge them to a spell off between the class versus them, and record it. That would be kind of fun to listen to. Or you could just do your spelling list for the week as a podcast, where just like the word of the day, you said the word, you spelled it, you used it in a sentence, and they would have that. You know, they don't just have to sit at home with that list and practice rewriting. They can play that over and over. And unlike us, the recording would never get tired of repeating it. They can even slow it down.
That's right.
Did you ever do a pen pal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could do pod pals. And I kind of view this instead of as an individual thing, I view this as a classroom exchange, really. Where you could find another classroom that was willing to do an exchange with you. You do a podcast that's telling about your community, your school, what it's like to live where you live, and they do one exactly the same, and you subscribe to each other. And it's just a way to kind of experience that. You can send messages really through your podcast. Oh, hey, we heard that our friends in Australia told us about this, and we think that's great. We also have something like that here. I think that can be a lot of fun. I'm a big pet person. I only have one pet, but I'm insane about it. He's a chihuahua named Jamal. And I will take just a moment. When you absolutely run out of things to do, you can go to his blog.
Wow.
JamalDog.com is his website. The insane part of this is I just started making little movies using iMovie and stuff because I needed some examples. So I put these movies up thinking maybe my mom would think they were cute. And then all of a sudden, a friend of mine sent the link in as a weird sight of the day to USA Today. So now we're up to almost 14,000. Time to look at my dog. So we haven't yet put this into an RSS feed, but we're going to. So it's going to be a small video podcast, and we'll get it into iTunes. But I'll just give you a little taste because we have a little time. Here's one, Jamal the Fragrance. This was a little parody of the old Obsession commercial. Watch the link. Ha ha. You can do a podcast where you did little videos of everybody's pet, or you can take it a little farther and make it about... But you can talk about how you pick out a pet. How do you, you know, what pets are there that most are unusual pets? What are bad choices for pets? Like a tiger in your python, things like that. Parents who work at the like they're all about the bad pet. Talk about pet habitats. What are you going to need if you get any water? How do you take care of it? And there are people in your community that you could bring in, dog owners and people from pet stores and animal control, humane society people that you could do a whole educational thing for your students, but then you're also helping them educate people about how to take care of animals. You could do pet show competition, or like I said, you could team up with local organizations. What's the address? Jamal Dog.com. And he has merchandise too. I think you can put it on mugs and t-shirts. So I put that little picture I drew of him on a mug just because I wanted one. And when they do it, it creates an online store. And I got like an email that someone had bought. There was a guy in California bought a set of four. Wow, what's breakfast like in Europe? Anyway, okay, career talk. You can do like a virtual job shadowing show where maybe your kid's producer, maybe you give a recorder out to different professionals in the community. It can be organized through your guidance counselors often, and it gives students, if they're having a hard time deciding which direction they want to go, they could hear from someone in that profession, and it's not limited to just the people that could visit during the day in your class. You could have access to dozens and dozens. You could widen the scope and take submissions from people in other schools and other cities and make it a really huge resource for people that are interested. They could talk about, you know, what do you have to take in high school to prepare yourself for college to head to that career and so forth. And I think the cool thing about it is not just looking at a set of requirements. You're hearing from somebody about the ups and the downs and the challenges and the benefits of all those different jobs. And so, yeah, that's the last one I've got. So, you know, you can get this. You guys will probably come up with 10,000 more ideas that you can do with this very flexible medium. When you start to think of yourself as a channel, it changes the way you look at what you and your students produce. And when your students are writing for a global audience, they will write more, they will write more often, and edit. So thank you so much.
Dale, you're great.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcasts are independently produced and syndicated for a global audience by Wesley Fryer and are shared under a Creative Commons Attribution 2.5 license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.